Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, day two of the Copa America Centenario review show. Oh, my God. If you watch the end of that match, that was unbelievable. That was on fire. I don't know if anyone can recover from that, but my God, Ecuador and Brazil, it was scoreless. And, you know, the biggest question mark of this matchup, was it a goal, or was the entire ball completely over the end line before the shot was taken and the ball was spilled into the Brazilian net by the keeper for Brazil? That's the big question mark, isn't it? Right now, that's the only question mark of this match, because this match was unbelievable, unreal what we have seen here in this second day of the Copa America Centenario. Boy, oh boy, what a wonderful match this was. I mean, I could not believe what I saw in this one, in this last one of three. It was just unbelievable to see how much action there was, how much unbelievable. Wow. There's the super shot now being shown on Fox Sports 1, and the entire ball did not cross the entire end line. The whole ball must go out of bounds to be considered not a goal. And that super, super close-up shot from Fox Sports 1, the super-duper dot that shows that ball did not completely cross the goal line. And unfortunately for Ecuador, it probably wouldn't have counted anyway, because once again, the near side assistant, meaning the assistant referee who was not on the far side of the field, the bench side referee, the bench side assistant did not see that ball clearly enough. And that's why he thought it was out, and that's why he raised his flag. I mean, obviously it's a goal. It should have been counted. It should have gone in. But unfortunately, you have to give the benefit of the doubt to the near side assistant, the bench side assistant, because he thought the entire ball was over the goal line. It was definitely not all the way over the goal line. And unfortunately, that's what happens. Still, it should have been a goal. I'm not disagreeing about that. Ecuador should have led 1-0 because the keeper for Brazil spilled the ball into the back of the net. But once again, the situation is this. The situation is that the entire ball should have been a goal. Should have been a goal. And unfortunately, it was not. But either way, it probably wasn't going to be deemed a goal anyway, because the near side assistant, once again, the near side assistant was blocked. I believe he was blocked, and I don't believe he was able to see what's been going on in that one. And, that's a situation where, unfortunately for Ecuador, they got unlucky. For Brazil, they did get lucky. But in certain ways, Brazil, I would have to say, at this point in time, you have to say this, is that while maybe the goals have not been coming in this Copa America Centenario, and I think that's a fair criticism right now. It's a fair criticism right now. But you have to say that this match between Brazil and Ecuador, this was flying back and forth. This was absolutely a fun one to watch. And while there is, some deserved criticism, and that's fine, that's okay, but we have to say this. That match was unreal. That match was fantastic. And unfortunately, no goals in it, or we could have had a goal, but it was wiped out for a ball that went over the end line when in reality it didn't. And sadly, it was probably going to get called back anyway if it was going to be still on the line. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's just absolutely fun to watch. It was absolutely great to see this last match between Brazil and Ecuador. But once again, it's just unbelievable to see what the hell's been going on. And I just got to say, this was fantastic. This was a fantastic third match. I have to be honest with you. I thought Haiti and Peru, I think it started off a little bit slow on the Haitian side of things, but the Peruvians really, really came out and fought. I thought they were fighting. They were on the front foot. They wanted to be in there. They wanted to go and tackle the situation. They wanted to go out there and prove a point. But you know what? They did. And, you know, even Haiti proved the point. And Haiti showed to be tough, counterattacking as well. Haiti, in my book, did a decent job. We all know they're not a strong side. They're slowly climbing into that. But, you know, you got to say this, is that this was just unbelievable what we have witnessed from the second match and the third match in this setup in day two of the Copa America Centenario. But here is the one thing that I will agree with everyone. I thought, just like everyone else, Costa Rica and Paraguay was a dud. I just did not like what I saw from Costa Rica. Have they gone into a lull now? Because let's be honest, they did a great job with the World Cup back in 2014, 2 years removed from that World Cup. And now the big question mark is this. Do they have enough to go into the next match against the United States? Because here's the thing that everyone was hoping for, a draw. I think everyone was hoping for at least a draw. If you're hoping for a scoreless draw, you got your wish. Because right now, that is the break the United States needed from these two teams facing against each other, between Paraguay and Costa Rica. And the United States on Tuesday will be at Soldier Field in Chicago to take on Costa Rica, and that was a lull. But I have with me right now, of course, my good friend Franco Panizo. He's covering Peru in the Copa America from the Soccer by Ives team on the internet at soccerbyives.com. Of course, that's Ives Gallerseps website. Franco Panizo joins me. You know, I got to tell you, Franco, I thought that the match with Peru and Haiti, I know Haiti's, they're still up and coming. They're not all the way there yet, even though it's still a Central American or Caribbean nation in CONCACAF. But I thought they gave Peru a real stern test over in Seattle where you are.
Yeah, for sure. Haiti's defense is known for being, you know, physically athletic, physically gifted and athletic, and tough to break down. They were organized at times today, and Peru didn't find much space to operate with, especially in the first half. And Haiti made it very difficult for them. You know, it took a very good play, a quality play from Peru, a nice cross from the left. Maybe Edison Flores, the left midfielder, left winger, was given a little bit too much space. But, you know, he took advantage of it, whips in a beautiful ball, and Paolo Guerrero, who, you know, is Peru's probably most well-known player on this squad, comes up with, you know, a little bit of a moment of brilliance, you know, peels away from his defender at the back post and just, you know, hits a diving header to put the ball in the back of the net and give Peru the win. But yeah, it wasn't easy for them today to get the 3 points. Haiti definitely was stingy and tough and physical, and their defense, it's not gonna be easy for the other team to break them down. Haiti definitely performed well. There was good things to take away, even though they didn't get the win.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Paulo Guerrero, who gets the goal in the 61st minute, diving header, now becomes the all-time leader in Peruvian soccer history to score the most goals for the national team. I mean, that's a wonderful moment. And I'll be honest with you, I've always felt, And you can correct me if I'm wrong, because we know Jefferson Farfán is not on this Copa America Centenario roster, but I always thought maybe he would have more goals than what Guerrero has done so far in his career with the national team.
Well, he's right. He's not too far behind, actually. I think he's like 3-4 goals behind Guerrero, maybe less. He's right there. You know, he's close to tying Teofilo Cubillas' record, which is now Paolo Guerrero's record. But, yeah, Farfán's right there. And in this World Cup qualifying cycle, Farfán has probably been the best player on Peru's team in this qualifying run so far. So I expect him to return to the team once qualifying gets back and running in the fall. And he'll probably score a couple more goals. He'll probably pass Cubillas' record as well. And then I don't know if he's going to get Guerrero's record, given that, you know, they're both still active players. But you never know. You never know. Farfán's definitely still playing at a high level when it comes to Peru.
Yeah, absolutely. But I got to say this, though. Ricardo Gareca, is that how you pronounce it? Gareca?
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
Oh, my God. You give me $10 now. No, I'm just joking. But Gareca,
I'll give it to you next time I see you.
Okay, that's fine. No, but I'm only joking. But anyway, I gotta give him credit, man, because, you know, he doesn't look like a typical football manager. He looks like a mad scientist wearing the paraphernalia on the bench for Peru. But boy, you know, I think he had his tactics spot on in this one.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, Peru players even said it after the game. They were a little too anxious in terms of scoring a goal. Maybe rushed a few things, maybe overthought a few things, maybe took one touch too many or hit one pass too many today in that first half. And in the second half, they calmed down a bit, and they had a little more success. Renzo Rivero, the right back, you know, he found himself open on one play on a set piece. And, you know, a great save from Haiti's goalkeeper prevented Peru from going up. So, you know, Peru under Gareca, you know, he wants and the team wants to keep the ball and attack. And they make no reservations about that. You know, they're not going to sit in a shell and try to sit back and absorb pressure for large stretches. That's not their game. That's not their DNA. That's not who they are. They want to come at you, you know, combining in the midfield, passing the ball, moving it around side to side, and then getting forward and creating chances. And they thought they would have that today. They knew that technically and you know, technically they were better, but they knew that physically they weren't better. So they came with a game plan to attack and try to find space to create, combine, and create a chance. And it worked. It worked out. They were good enough defensively on set pieces. You know, they didn't commit too many costly turnovers in bad spots to lead to KD counterattacks, and they did just enough on the attack to pull up the goal that they gave them the 3 points. So, a good game plan from them and a good performance from the team now at the start of this tournament.
And very lucky at the end in the second half stoppage time. I mean, that cross in for Haiti that went off the chest of the attacker. I forgot who it was, but, you know, if he was actually had his eyes open, I think he would have converted it and you would have won 1-1. I mean, that was like maybe the whisker of a draw if that chance would have gone in.
I think Peru, I think we heard a collective sigh, sigh of relief from Peru at the stadium. I think I could hear the country from CenturyLink Field. That was definitely close. I mean, a better team finishes that, and that's something Peru needs to be careful of, because, you know, they talked in the build up to this about staying focused and concentrated for 90 full minutes, especially on set pieces, because they knew how dangerous Haiti was on those, given that they're physically superior. And to have that happen in the last minute, you know, if that goes in, it's devastating. And Peru's in a much worse situation mentally, as well as in the standings. So that's something that definitely, I'm sure, Gareca will go over in the next few days before their next match against Ecuador.
Now, let me ask you about this, because I know you were watching Brazil and Ecuador, and I think that was a fantastic match to watch. Did you think that ball crossed the entire end line before the cross, or do you think it just stayed enough on the line and it should have been a goal?
See, it's tough for me to say. I only caught the last 30 minutes by the time we got back to the hotel here. in Seattle, so I only caught the last maybe 20 minutes actually of the game. I think it might have touched on the play once in the broadcast during that, but I didn't get a clear look, a good look. I was still, you know, looking at Twitter, tweeting away about the stories and you know, and just about the game today, the Bruins game that I was at. So I didn't get a full look. I'll take a look, you know, once I get back into my room here. And,
yeah, no problem.
Check it out.
Yeah, no problem. But how does it feel, sort of? I mean, Peru in leading the group right now with 3 points. I mean, Brazil and Ecuador with a point each. How does that feel? I mean, does it feel weird a little bit, or maybe Peru expected to be leading the group by this time?
Well, Peru is, you know, they're taking a cautious approach and a step-by-step approach. You know, it's cliche, but they've said it this week that they, you know, they're not looking too far ahead. They're not gonna say that they want to match, you know, their successes of the last two Copa Americas where they finished in third place both times. You know, they've actually come with a very young team, not a talented team that has potential, but not an experienced team. And, you know, they know that just how they can perform well, you know, they might not be able to perform well for me, given their lack of experience and lack of seasoning. So they've taken a cautious approach. They say they want to have a good tournament. They want to have a good showing. They want to get out of the group. But they're not setting, at least not publicly, they're not setting lofty goals for themselves, saying, you know, we're going to match third place or we're going to do better than third place. Because, like you said, you know, like you mentioned earlier, there's star players here that are missing. You know, Farfán's not here. Players like Claudio Pizarro, Juan Manuel Vargas, you know, guys who are regulars in this team. You know, even though some people may want them out, they're part of the A team right now, and they're not with this team here. So this team has potential, showed potential today. But, you know, with youth comes inconsistency, and that's the question for Peru. Can they keep this up, this level of play? So we'll see how they do in these next two games.
Let me quickly shift over to the United States for a second. This is a big break that they got with their other opponents. They're going to take on Costa Rica at Soldier Field this Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern. 0-0 against Paraguay, but I would have to say a foolish challenge by Kendall Watson. He gets sent off late in that match earlier today over in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a big break, not just the draw, but also losing a bruising center back like Watson?
It's a loss for Costa Rica and a benefit for the U.S. that he's not going to be on the field if you look at it one way, because he's obviously a beast of a player, especially, you know, anyone who watches MLS knows how good he is, you know, defensively, cleaning things up, physically, in the air, on set pieces. You know, he's a goal-scoring threat. But at the same time, maybe, you know, this is something I discussed with some of the reporters over here in Seattle. Maybe it's also a bad thing for the U.S. that he's out because, you know, he's prone to these red cards. And if maybe he gets a red card against the U.S., you know, the U.S. has that man advantage. But, you know, he got sent off in his last game with the Whitecaps before going on international duty. Now he gets sent off in his first game at the Copa with Costa Rica. So he's prone to these bad fouls and maybe being overly physical or going in a little too hard or too reckless. But yeah, you know, it's a loss. It's a loss for Costa Rica. It's a benefit for the U.S. Mostly that he's not going to be there. So let's see if the U.S. can take advantage, man, because yesterday was not a pretty day for them.
No, it wasn't. All right, Franco, get to your hotel room, chill, take it easy, and I'll talk to you next time, okay?
Yeah, man, I got a flight to Phoenix earlier, so no party.
No party? No, no.
Nah, maybe I'll sneak out a little and get out a little party here. No.
I mean, listen. You're allowed to have like a little fun. I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about that much stuff. I mean, come on, you're Franco. You know,
you just gotta wake up. Just gotta wake up early and catch a flight. Otherwise, I'll get stuck here. But I'll see what I can do. I might be too tempted to not stay in. So.
Watch out for the waitresses. No.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
We'll
you better
see.
Watch out for me. No, I'm just kidding.
I see. that's South Florida charm. I tell you that much. No. You take it easy, man. Get some sleep. I'll talk to you next time.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon. Nope.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. It's Franco Panizo from Soccer by Ives. He's with the Peruvian national team as, of course, their next match will be against Ecuador. And they will be playing that match over at Glendale, Arizona, at the University of Phoenix Stadium as Ecuador and Peru get it on. Once again, Peru leading Group B with 3 points. Brazil and Ecuador with that fantastic 0-0 draw to make it 1-1. And for the United States, of course, earlier over at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida, formerly the Citrus Bowl, Costa Rica 0, Paraguay 0, and that's a big break for the United States now as they take on Costa Rica this coming Tuesday at Soldier Field over in Chicago, Illinois. And, of course, no Kendall Watson, who got sent off late in that match. So that's a big, big break for the United States as they take on Costa Rica that Tuesday, and we'll see what happens. And maybe Colombia does run away with the group. We'll see what they do against Paraguay as well. And I believe that match will be at Lincoln Financial, whoops, wrong one. Hold on a second. I want to make sure I get the right one. It will be at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. So I read it wrong on the calendar, so that's my bad. But, yeah, Pasadena, California, it will be Paraguay and Colombia facing off against each other in that second match. And that'll be at night on Tuesday night, June the 7th. That's going to be a very interesting matchup, as we have Group A action going on over there. But still, though, you got to say, this has been I felt that maybe slow start for this Copa America at this particular point in time. Obviously not a lot of goals outside of course, USA-Colombia. Colombia beats the United States 2-0 last night. But still, once again, these are the games that, you know, you have to see what's going to happen further on when you are looking to see what's going to happen. And once again, was that a goal for Ecuador? Did the entire ball go over the end line? It looked like, from the super close-up shot from Fox Sports 1, it looked like it, that possibly that ball was still very, very, very just on the chalk of the end line, on the far side of the net. Now, once again, it probably was going to get called off out of bounds anyway, because the near side assistant is not on that side of the field. So possibly he could have been screened by the net. Maybe he didn't have a good look at it, or, you know, it's too far away from him. But still, you have to say right now that Brazil is lucky that that's not a goal, because when the cross came in, the keeper spilled it inside his own net, and Brazil got a major break there. Either way, it was going to be a major break no matter what, because Ecuador probably should have walked away with the 3 points. Didn't happen. Brazil had their chances. Ecuador had their chances. I will agree with what Kobe Jones was saying, that, you know, Brazil is going to get some breaks, and it happened right there. It happened right there, and, you know, that's what it is sometimes. And you just have to, you know, shake your head. And not only just shake your head, but at the same time, be amazed at what's going to happen here, because it's just unbelievable what has happened in this matchup. Just unbelievable what's been going on. And I think we're going to get ourselves some pretty good games tomorrow, because now we got Group C action coming in. And once again, those matches will be on the channels of Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, as well as your Fox Sports Go app. This match, of course, Jamaica taking on Venezuela, will be on Fox. Don't forget, also on Univision. Jamaica and Venezuela will be facing each other at 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific on Sunday, June the 5th. And then the second match, which will be Mexico. Oh, and this is going to be a good one. Mexico versus Uruguay over at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. This will be at 8 o'clock at night. This should really, really be a very good matchup. 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. And that match will be live on Fox Sports 1. As Fernando Fiore has said, Mexico with the most Gold Cup championships in CONCACAF, and Uruguay with the most Copa America championships in CONMEBOL. So this should be a pretty good match, because this should be a pretty good matchup, because you know what? Mexico and Uruguay, you know, these are two tough teams that are going to face each other. And the way that Javier Hernandez, of course, Chicharito, is on fire since finally being used at Bayer Leverkusen the proper way, and he's been scoring unbelievable goals for that German club in the Bundesliga. And, you know, he's finally being used the proper way. He was being used the proper way playing at Manchester United with Sir Alex Ferguson, because once he retired, obviously, Louis van Gaal and the manager before him just wasn't using him properly. So, and that's a shame, to be honest. But still, though, just absolutely unbelievable stuff going on here. Absolutely wonderful scenes going on. And unbelievable that we didn't even have a goal. Out of the two match days so far, three goals. Two by Colombia, one by Peru. But this 0-0 draw, I felt, was more exciting than the Costa Rica-Paraguay 0-0 draw, because that's just a hack fest right there. And I hate seeing hack fests in soccer. We just don't want to see it. But once again, going back to the draw between Paraguay and Costa Rica, that's a result that's in favor of the United States once again. And I have to say they got lucky. Now, Kendall Watson is no longer going to be in this matchup against the United States. Because? Why? Because Watson, with a very reckless challenge, gets red carded, sent off, and he will be suspended for the next match. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. And it should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. And all I can say is this, is that for this tournament, I think there needs to be more. And it's just really tough to see that. And all you can say is, all you can say is that it's just been one of those things where you would like to see more happen. And I think more should happen. And hopefully we'll get more tomorrow between Uruguay and Mexico. Jamaica and Venezuela would like to really, really it's just unbelievable stuff going on. And like I said before, if you feel it's a dud, hey, listen, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for feeling like that. But still, this was definitely a very good matchup. I thought Brazil and Ecuador blew the house down. I thought Peru did well. A little bit hairy towards the end of that second half. Not just much on the cross, but that one sequence where Peru just kept on stopping shots, but they just couldn't clear the ball out. And they kept giving Haiti chance after chance after chance to try and get the equalizer. It almost happened. But once again, Peru survives. They win the match 1-0. They lead Group B with 3 points. Brazil and Ecuador with a point each. And, of course, Haiti with nil. But Haiti, that was a pretty good match for them. They played strong, but just not enough, because obviously Peru a little bit more on the quality than what Haiti has. But still, I thought Haiti had a good showing in this matchup. But then once again, once Brazil takes on Haiti in their next group stage match, I think it's all over. So that's a real tough one. But let's go quickly now. Once again, it's going to be 5 o'clock Eastern time on Fox National, between Jamaica and Venezuela at 5 o'clock Eastern. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock Eastern, it is the showstopper, Mexico versus Uruguay. We're going to have a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen there. I want to thank Franco Panizo for joining me tonight, talking about Peru and Haiti. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much, and talk to you next time. Enjoy your football tomorrow night, same time.